C6, number 14B.
That this attitude does a lot towards healing, so that it isn't just to be very clever in one's science and know all the ramifications of the system, but that it needs that loving affection in order to have healing power. We go to the second part. The second part, as we know from last year's class, is the treatment that the practitioner gives. It is captioned. Can you say captioned? Yes? Oh, I'm getting better. With truth and mind, and in its specific place value, namely to know the truth. To know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and that makes you free. That heals. So, truth knowing, truth healing, truth and mind is here the main point in the second part. So, here, when applied to the specific subject of healing, we can ask ourselves, what does Mrs. Eddy actually say about healing in the second part? And actually we will get a confirmation of this, that she would always somehow bring out that that which heals is knowing the truth about the situation. Very often, truth with a small t, because, and you can see why, because it's knowing the specific truth that heals. So in this part, the truth with a small t is very often used. For instance, she says what is healing is faith in the truth of being. See, in the truth of being, naturally truth is a small t. But it's the truth of being, and not, like with Mesmer, his truth. Because his is personal, whereas the truth of being is an idea. She says, therefore, that which healing is to establish really the truth in the minds of mortals, just as Quimby had done it. But actually now, after the second big vertical, where we had truth heals through mind, we know now that everything that is practiced on the Christ vertical, here in the Christianity vertical, is naturally a real truth, a specific truth that is established in the minds of the patient. So it must be established in the mind, small m, of the patient, because he has to know the truth, so that we can see that which heals is actually seeing that the patient's mind knows the truth about himself, the real truth about himself, that he knows what he knows, that he knows that he knows the truth. She says here that healing is established by establishing the scientific sense of health. Can you see again? Establishing the true idea, the true fact, health, the scientific sense of health. So we cannot always expect that the term truth recurs and recurs, but we must see that we have enough spiritual sense to see that many other terms can bring out the tonality of the truth that has to be known. She speaks here of healing through the action of truth on the minds of mortals. See, very often you have here in this, that the truth must be established where? Not in the divine mind. That was the Christ. That truth heals through the divine mind. Here, where we have to do with the patient, with the specific case, with the patient, with mortals who have to be healed, then naturally we can see that the truth must be established in the mind, or in the mind of the patient, but that mind is small m. It's small m. Just watch out for that when you study that chapter, because in very few instances she will use that rendering, except here in this chapter. She says that we should chain disease with truth, again, small t, a small t, not with a capital T. To chain disease with what? With the specific truth. See, the moment she writes truth with a small t, we know that it is a divine truth, but only a divine truth, not the truth, but the divine truth. About what? About a specific case. That's healing. So just watch out for that. In this second part also, we have the very opposite of it, in order to show that the very opposite must not be cultured. She says that we should not believe in disease and its evidence. Then no disease will arise. Can you see? Not to believe in disease. Again, not to take disease as a truth. See, you have to listen to that tonality, and not just to watch out, is there somewhere a truth, a big capital truth or a small truth. You have to listen to what she wants to say. Or she says that we should not take a reality, that we should not make a reality out of disease. That when the belief goes, see, when the belief goes, and therefore the truth enters, when the belief goes, healing takes place. Yeah? Well, I think it's, as I said right at the beginning of this week, it's not quite fair to read out to you just a lot of statements and then expect that you keep them all in mind and that you can get the tonality. But still, I think somehow you feel what is under discussion here. So that second part actually would say, perhaps we could put that down as an epitome, Romans 2, establish the truth, small t, establish the truth, small t, in the minds of mortals. Establish the truth in the minds of mortals. Naturally, from the standpoint of the system, we see that we cannot establish the truth, small t, without knowing first what is truth capitalized, and that we can only establish it in the minds of mortal, because we see that there is only one mind. So the vehicle is truth capitalized and mind capitalized, but that vehicle has been shown in the Christ vertical. Is that true? Yeah? Then we go on to the third part. In the third part of the chapter, as we know the chapter from John Dorley's interpretation, that third part is life and soul. Remember, life and soul. And we said it is showing the method of life, and that method of life is of the nature of soul, namely to stick and to persevere in the facts of being in life, in that which is. That's the method. In other words, we can see the second part and the third part very easily as connected with each other. In the second part, the practitioner establishes in his treatment the truth about the situation, then the method in life and soul is to consider this truth about the situation as the isness of that case, as that what that case divinely is. You see, that fact is actually the isness of being, life, and that therefore we have to stick to this isness, of that isness which we have seen to be the truth, to the isness, and stick to it, to be perseverant. Now comes all the nice qualities of soul, to be perseverant, to adhere to it, not to give in to it, not to waver, not to to be a sticker, to be tough in it, not to give in anymore, to hold on to it. That's the touch of soul. So that means at this point the practitioner really has to put up a good show. He has to show his whole inner spiritual strength, his whole inner spiritual power, not to give in anymore to what he has been seeing as the facts of being, as the truth of being. And therefore, when we ask here in that third part, what are the qualities that heal, we actually find that Mrs. Eddy gives all those qualities that bring out that persevering, unyielding, unwavering sense of soul. This unyielding, unwavering, trustful sense of soul, she gives in two ways, in a more positive way and in a more, actually not the negative way, from the negative point of view, I will tell you what it is. The first attitude you will find is here, that she says that we must stick really to that spiritual understanding. That what we have been seeing in truth and mind in the second part, that is that into which we trust and have faith, and that we have to understand in an unyielding way. For instance, she says, faith in God heals. Can you see? Here it is, faith in God heals. And we know now very well that this faith here is not blind faith, but that it is that biblical term, faith, which really means trustworthiness, that is really a faith that is understood, because she cannot show here the very opposite of what she was saying in prayer. You remember in prayer she said, through what kind of means do you want to attain healing? Do you want to attain that healing through blind belief, through blind faith? There she had faith and said, no, you shouldn't do that. The means should be spiritual understanding. So here, as we always have to be aware of, is that faith has a dual meaning. Faith can mean blind faith, which is negative, but faith also can mean that trustfulness and that trustworthiness that is brought out. So she begins and says here, you have to have faith in God, and that heals. Can you hear the tone of life and soul, especially soul, that trust, that faith in God? She says that we must have faith in the truth of being. Again, faith. She says, as if she wants to correct it with what she understands as faith, she says, blind faith heals only for a season. And you see that she wants to correct it right away and say, under faith, I understand real trust, an understood trust in God. That's faith. Whereas blind faith can only do something good for a season. It can only heal for a while. And we know that very well, that faith healing is possible, that blind faith healing is very possible. That Mrs. said in her article on faith healing, she even says that faith healer produce very often more rapid, more convincing healings, more instantaneous healings, but that their healings are far in advance of their understanding. And therefore, because it's in advance of their understanding, usually you have a relapse and a recurrence of a disease. Whereas in understanding, once we have understood that 2 and 2 are 4 and have not believed in it, we know it for all our life. It does. We never fall back to an error again. So she says that we should give understanding in order to efface the images of sickness. Understanding is the universal remedy. You see, now she goes from blind faith to faith to understanding, that the Bible contains the recipe for healing, that we should contend for truth. So here we have contend for truth. Can you hear that contending? That has a very strong sense of soul. That it's not just believing in truth, not just seeing the truth. It's contending for truth. There's a terrific strong sense, just like Paul had it always. He just never gave in, that man. No matter what happened, he never gave in. And that made him really to be triumphant and successful under every circumstance. Yes, so here we have first that sense in the third part of having terrific trust and faith and unyielding trust in the truth of being, which means on the other side, and now I bring a second category in, which takes up quite a lot of references, a second category which really says that you heal by refuting error. Here, refuting error. You know, we don't refute error just lightly. In order to refute error, one needs all our strength. One needs all our inward power. One needs that unyielding sense of sticking to the truth and standing for the truth. So just listen what she says here when she speaks about that we should heal and can heal by refuting error.